sheep heap only. I enter to honor I am. Lord, I worship you. I worship you. Lord, I worship you. I worship you. For your name is holy. Your name is holy. Your name is holy. For your name is holy. It is holy, holy Lord. I enter the holy of holies. I enter to the blood of the Lamb. I enter to worship you only. I enter, there I am. Oh Lord, I worship you. I worship you. Lord, I worship you. I
before the Lord. Father, we thank you for your grace and for your mercy, Lord. Father, we thank you for your spirit that has once again gathered us, Lord, into this place. Father, I just pray, Lord, and I ask for your spirit to take control of this song worship, Lord. Father, may you grant me grace and mercy as well. Father, seeing as I came, Lord Jehovah, Father, unprepared for this, Lord, but I just seek your grace that you have mercy upon me, Lord. Anoint each and every one of us, Lord, Father, as we sing our praises unto thee, Lord, Father, at this moment, Lord. Pardon our transgressions, Lord, Father, where we sinned against you during the course of the day. Father, may you have mercy upon us and let your blood wash us and cleanse us, Lord. Father, we pray and we ask you, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, to delight in our praises and help us as well to delight in praising you, Lord, at this moment. Praying for those that are making their way to come to your house, Lord. Father, may you lead and guide them and have mercy upon them, Lord. We pray that you anoint the minister of the gospel as well, Lord. Father, may your grace be with him. Father, and use him, Father, as a vessel of honor, Lord, to deliver your word unto us, Lord, at this time. Father, we pray for wheresoever the saints are gathered as well. Father, will you be with them, Lord? We thank you and we glorify your name at this time. In the name of our precious and mighty Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Maybe we stay on the same key. We have come into his house to gather in his name and worship him. We have come into his house in his name and worship him. We have come into his house in his name and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Christ. Let's sing that verse once again.
We have come into His house, gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into His house, gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into His house, gathered in His name to worship Christ the Lord. Oh, worship Christ the Lord.
So what do you do now?
Just forget about yourself. Concentrate on Him and worship Him. Just forget about yourself. Concentrate on Him and worship Him. Just forget about yourself. Concentrate on Him and worship Christ the Lord. Oh, worship Christ the Lord. And let us lift up holy hands, magnify His name and worship Him. Let us lift up holy hands, magnify His name and worship Him. Let us lift up holy hands, magnify His name and worship Christ the Lord. For worship Christ the Lord.
Amen. Let us stay on the same key, Brother George, and let's sing.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working in the precious blood of the Lamb. From the burden of sin, there is power in the blood, power in the blood. There is power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder working in the blood. Oh, the Lamb, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Who to be free from your blood, on earth? There is power in the blood, there is power in the blood. Power, wonder working in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder working power, the
Since we are singing about the blood, maybe we should sing. It's a chorus, Brother George. I don't know if we have it written on there. We should sing. In the blood of Christ, my Lord, there is victory. Yeah. In the blood of Christ, my Lord. In the blood of Christ, my Lord. In the blood of Christ, my Lord. There is a victory. In the blood of Christ, my Lord. In the blood of Christ, my Lord. In the blood of Christ, my Lord. There is a victory. There is a victory. There is a victory. There is a victory. In the blood of Christ, my Lord. So when I go, in the blood of Christ, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord, there is a victory. When I go, there is a victory, 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 oh, victory, in the blood of Christ, my Lord. There is a victory, there is a victory, there is a victory, in the blood of Christ, my Lord. There is a victory, there is a victory, there is a victory, in the blood of Christ, my Lord, in the blood of Christ, my Lord. In the blood of Christ, my Lord. In the blood of Christ, my Lord. There is a victory. In the blood of Christ, my Lord. In the blood of Christ, my Lord. In the blood of Christ, my Lord. There is a victory. There is a victory. In the blood of Christ, my Lord, there is a victory, there is a victory, there is a victory, in the blood of Christ, my Lord. Amen. Thank you, sir. Kukunda, 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 kukunda. I think we shall put the words of the song We request the brother to help us with that. Okay. Now we are singing about victory. Then let's make this victory personal and we shall sing, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. And I too, Satan, to get thee behind me. Victory today is mine. Oh, joy is mine. Joy. Sing this song. I don't know if I'm quite comfortable to sing it. I think Brother George will be assisting anyway. He's not from Bashan. Wait for the words, maybe to the song. Yeah, yeah, okay.
It's not from.
It's not fashion, salvation from God, and it should be mine. It is all but it's me. It is powerful, yet it's true. I'm so glad for the cause is genuine.
I'm so glad this morning is genuine.
to them that day, and it has sent them to say, we want this Holy Ghost so genuine. I'm so glad this Holy Ghost is genuine. If the devil's got you bound and is running you around, there's just one thing: your soul can be set free. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then the Holy Ghost will come so genuine.
It's not false, it is not partial, it's salvation sent from God. It's not divine, it is old, but it's new. It is powerful, yet it's true. I'm so glad it's the Holy Ghost
genuine.
Amen. Maybe we shall sing, change the key a bit, we'll sing Redeemed. Redeemed, how I loved you, proclaimed it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed. Mercy is shouted forever.
Hallelujah,
redeemed by
avec Marcel et Hervé Chantepreneur before we go into the preaching of the word. Amen.
Amen.
If you can give us, it touched me. Let's be in an attitude of prayer and bring our burdens to the Lord.
Shackled by a heavy burden, with a lot of guilt and shame, let the hand of Jesus touch me.
If you can just by faith approach to his throne and claim for that touch now, he's there and something will happen. You won't be the same anymore. Why don't we raise our hands and praise the Lord and ask for that special touch? Let's pray. Seigneur notre Dieu, tu Dieu d'amour et de grâce, Seigneur. Dear Heavenly Father, now take the leadership as we are going to read your word. Bless us, bless your people, and grant us according to our expectation, O Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. We have Brother Maxwell thanking God. God bless you, Brother Maxwell. Thank you, and happy to see you again in our midst. He had a problem with his knee for the last few days, but God healed him, and we are happy to have him in our midst again. We have a few requests. If you have a request, just put it on writing, and we are going to pray for all the requests at the end, since it's our prayer meeting. We are going to have a very short exhortation before we go into a prayer. So let's open Proverbs 18, number 10. Proverbs 18, verse 10, and then Isaiah 32, verse 2. Proverbs 18, verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe.
Yes.
Amen. Isaiah 32, verse 2. And a man shall be as an hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We have a small topic this evening. We are still remaining in the same spirit that was on Sunday and Wednesday, spiritual warfare. We want to just follow the leadership of the Lord and speak more on that. Amen. So the topic we are going to explore today is letting off the pressure. Amen. But in that framework of spiritual warfare. Amen. Because we know that we are in a battle. It's not a secret to anyone. We are in a battle. And in a battle, we need to understand our enemy. Because when you know your enemy, you are able to predict his move, his next move. Amen. That's why boxers or footballers or whatever, before they fight an opponent, they spend a lot of time studying the opponent's style. How do they kick? How do they punch? How do they, you know, distribute the ball in the field? Because they want to know how to counterattack them. How to make them ineffective towards themselves. Amen. Amen. So we want to just study one of our enemy's beloved tactics. Amen. Because he has tried it time and time and it's always worked. But we are not very careful to understand that this is our enemy. And most of the time we play his game while he's there just relaxing and looking at us just being defeated. Amen. So we are going to look at that, letting off the pressure, because the enemy will try to put pressure on you.
Amen.
And when he knows that you are under pressure, you won't concentrate, you won't focus on fighting him. You will focus on your pressures. Amen. So we'll see the prophet preached this sermon, letting off the pressure. He was just showing us how we can overcome the devil. Because all the pressures we are going through in our daily life, they are just the result of the enemy's tactics. Just trying to, you know, take our focus away from the main thing, which is him.
Amen.
And it hides behind those pressures of life. So we need to be very careful. That's why we are going to try and see today. We know in the world, every single army, whatever its power, no matter how big it is, but there's one element that big army, that powerful, well-trained army needs. It's their condition, their readiness to fight. Amen?
Amen.
You may have the best weapons in the world. You may have the best commanders in the world. You may have the biggest military budget in the world. But if your spirit is not in a state of readiness to fight, you will still be defeated.
Amen.
Amen. That's why in today's war, there's hard power, which is weapons, tanks, and planes, but there's also soft power. Amen.
Yeah.
In modern warfare, it's not only in modern warfare, it's since war started, they use soft power and hard power. Hard power is what we see, is what we rely on. We see tanks, we see ammunition, we see machine guns, we see all that. But behind those hard power, if you have an enemy who knows how to use soft power, he can defeat you, whatever tanks or airplane you have to combat him.
Amen.
Because war is mostly based, because the tactics, you have the same tactics.
Amen.
Most of the military commander, they've gone to the same colleges. If not same colleges, they've studied the same programs. They know how to fight. They know the tactics. But victory lays on how you can use soft power.
Amen.
And soft power is deception, is one of the tactics. Propaganda is one of the tactics. Amen. Fooling the enemy is one of the tactics. Misinformation is one of the tactics. And psychological war. Amen. So the devil, our enemy, he knows how to use those soft power to defeat us. Most of the time, he plays on those grounds. Psychological war, misinformation, he plays on this, he plays on that. Just though the Lord has given you all the hard power that is in heaven, you have the old armor of God, you put it on you, but the devil will just use his soft power so that you won't be even in a position of readiness to fight him. Because he's just using misinformation, deception, and some of his tactics just to fool you. So if you understand the devil, that's why no matter how big, how powerful an army is, there's one element every single army in the world play on. They want the morale, amen, of the soldiers to be always positive. If an army loses its morale, whatever they do, they lose the battle.
Yes.
And the enemy knows the best way to defeat our enemy is to destroy their morale. If we destroy the spirit of combativeness, amen, the willingness to fight, if we destroy it, they may have their tanks, but we'll beat them with their tanks.
Yes.
They may have the airplane, we'll beat them with their airplane. And they will play on the psychological war.
Amen.
I remember in World War II that it's one of the lessons in military academies. They want to teach you these things to understand. Because there's a topic called history of war. Amen. You study different tactics, different combat, different campaigns. And because you want to be prepared. All those things that happen, they will teach you how to prepare war. Amen. There was in World War II, the Germans, when they were fighting the French to occupy France. They had occupied already one part of France, but there was this town that they wanted to conquer, but there was a fierce resistance from the French soldiers that were there. They studied the enemy, the Germans studied, and they found out that the brigade that was defending the town came from Marseille. Amen. Marseille is one of the cities in France. So most of the people, they were based in, they originated from Marseille. In the meantime, on another front, the German was attacking this town, and they were attacking Marseille as well. So Marseille hadn't fallen yet under the Germans' armies yet. So while they were fighting here, they understood that to defeat these people, since there are most of them from Marseille, we need to start now spreading false news that Marseille have been conquered by the Germans. So from the town they were occupying, they had a very powerful radio station. They started broadcasting, you know, non-stop informations like As we are speaking now, the German troops have entered Marseille, and there's a curious thing happening there. The girls in Marseille, they are giving themselves to German soldiers. The German soldiers are so handsome that the girls over there, they are giving themselves to them. As we are talking now, German soldiers are sleeping with Marseille's girl in the streets of Marseille. So they repeated that information non-stop all over the day. It broke the morale of the militants there. Because everyone there had a girlfriend, had a wife, had a mother, had a sister back there. So that information, because they couldn't doubt it. The Germans were very powerful and they were taking town after town. So when they told them that your town, your city has been taken and that your wives are now being taken by German soldiers, it just broke their morale. While it was not true, but in the meantime, they lost that willingness to fight. They lost the power to attack the enemy, and the German used that deception just to attack them and take the town. After they took the town, they realized that Marseille didn't fall at all. But it was just a tactic that the enemy used to build a certain pressure on the soldiers. And when there's a pressure on you, when the devil, the enemy, puts a pressure on you, your attention focuses more now on the pressure, on the cause of the pressure, rather than fighting the enemy.
Amen.
Are we together?
Amen.
So that's why it is very, very important in any army that to keep the morale of the soldiers very high.
Amen.
They will do their best. They'll do their best to keep you in a fighting state, ready to fight. Amen.
Amen.
And the enemy, his tactics, his aim is to put you in a condition of vulnerability.
Amen.
So that you won't be ready to fight him anymore. You lose that motivation to fight.
Yeah.
Amen. We are in a battle and we need to know the enemy. Because he will come with things that will put pressure on you. And when that pressure builds up, your focus will be on the cause of the pressure rather than fighting the enemy.
Amen.
And he'll take that opportunity to defeat you. Amen?
Yes.
So, we are going to look at morale. What is it? Because as Christians, we need to keep our morale high.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
There's a definition here. They say, the morale phenomenon as a component of a soldier's preparation to the conditions of contemporary battlefield plays important role in military effectiveness of army and in future victories at times of war. Amen. Your morale plays a very important role in your effectiveness. Even though you have gone to the best academies, but if you are not morally prepared well, you will lose the battle.
Amen.
Amen. If you are not morally prepared, if you are there on the battlefield with your gun, but you are thinking, oh, my children, as we are speaking now, they have been taken by the enemy. You know, you even lose that motivation. But that's why the Lord prepares us, trains us for that battle. Amen. The Lord trains us in time of peace. A true army, a real army in the world, in time of peace, they prepare war. Amen. They are getting themselves ready for war. And the trainers, the leaders, they'll make sure that their troops are war ready. Their mental state, their spirit is war ready. And they put them to a certain training. They put them to a certain condition so that they'll be willing to fight. Amen. So what do they do? There's another saying there that says, it is confirmed with the words of renowned commanders who participated in many victorious campaigns, like Napoleon, who stated that moral power is more decisive for victory than numbers. Amen?
Amen.
Moral is more decisive than number. You may be 1,000 and your enemies are just 200. But if they happen, they are able to break your morale. 200 can defeat you.
Amen.
Because they know that you have lost that willingness to fight.
Amen.
You have lost that motivation to fight. Amen.
Yes.
So, what do they do in armies now? In time of peace, they prepare you to be combat ready. Amen. That's why you see in every army in the world, there's no soldier that they would ask him to go and buy his uniform himself. Amen. Because they don't want to put that pressure on you. They want your morale to be okay. That's why they put them in caserns. Amen. They provide for their accommodation. They give them good health care. Their children study free. Amen. And all these things, they give them free food. They don't want all this pressure to build on them, because if they spend their time thinking on these things, they won't be combat ready.
Amen.
Amen. They won't be fight ready. So the state provides that they'll keep them beyond every need.
Amen.
Because in time of peace, they want them to be combat ready. Because if they are not provided with all those resources, the time the enemy attacks, they'll be there trying to fix the problem with their children's school fees. They'll be there, I'm talking about, serious countries, responsible states.
Amen.
I know some of our states, they don't care, you know. But a state that care about their safety, about their welfare, they'll provide everything to put their soldiers in a spirit of combat. They'll be ready to fight. They won't have any pressure on them, preventing them from focusing on the main aim there in the army.
Amen.
Amen. So they'll put everything to their disposal. But their militaries, that comfort, they'll keep it for time of peace. But in time of peace, they will prepare them for time of war as well. Even though they give them, they provide everything for them to keep them beyond every need, but there will come a time where they'll be vulnerable to those needs. Because they'll be in fight, they'll be in a battlefield. Sometimes they'll lack food. Amen? Sometimes they will lack water. Sometimes they will lack good conditions to sleep. So they need to prepare them in time of peace to be ready for those times of hardness that will come. Because if a soldier is his moral is high only in time of peace, and when a war broke, he becomes vulnerable, he's not a good soldier. So they need to prepare your morale to be good in time of peace and in time of war. So you need to be prepared for the time when you will lack food, the time when you lack water, time when you lack any kind of, social support. You need to be prepared for that as well. So in time of peace, that's why in the army, they'll provide on one hand housing, food, medical care. On the other hand, they'll put you through a very tough training. Amen. On the other end, they'll put you through a very, very harsh, you'll go through a very, very harsh training. They want you to be combat ready in any kind of situation. In time of peace, yes, you need to be beyond every need, but they know there will come a time when you'll face the enemy and there won't be someone to cook sadza for you. Amen. There won't be someone to give you pizza. You may find 2-3 weeks without a good food. Without finding someone to prepare food for you. You need to be prepared for that. Because all that builds the pressure on you. Lack of money to pay your electricity, lack of money to send your children to school will build the pressure on you in time of peace. Amen. But in time of war, lack of food may become also a problem for you. You need to be prepared to live without food. To face that kind of pressure as well. Amen. So that's why they will train you to keep your morale high in every situation.
Amen.
Amen. That's why the Lord, on one hand, he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Amen.
Amen.
If you walk only on one extreme, you say, okay, Christian life is, is a picnic. The Lord will give me food, he'll give me money, he'll give me a good job, he'll give me... That's fine. That's the word of the Lord. That's one hand. But on the other hand, He need to prepare you for the time of war. That's why he bring you through your trials. Amen. That's why he bring you through those adversities, those times where everybody rejects you. Because those times will come when you will face the enemy and you will need that moral preparation. When you lack food in a battlefield, it shouldn't become a pressure that will break you down. Amen. That's why the Lord prepares you for all these circumstances. He gives you this, but on the other end, that's why we need to be balanced Christians. That prosperity gospel of I can't lack anything. That one hand, that one side of the coin. But on the other side of the coin, Paul would say, I've been deprived of everything. Would you say that Paul was not a Christian? He was a believer. But it was just God's way of preparing you to manage the pressure. Amen. That pressure building in you, if you don't know how to manage it, you may end up focusing on the pressure, forgetting your target, which is your enemy. Amen. Amen. So that's why the Lord says in Peter that the trial of our faith being much more precious than gold that perishes. Amen. Our trials, the Lord said they are more precious than gold. Why? Because they prepare you to take that pressure and to manage that pressure when it comes and to fight the good battle of faith. Amen.
Amen.
When you go through a trial, whatever it is, lack of money, rejection, whatever, just look on the other hand that it's more precious than gold because it's building a character in you that will make you resist to any pressure that will come from the enemy. Amen. That when the Lord see that you have taken too much now, and he'll bring now this other scripture, the Lord is my shepherd, I will not want. Amen. After molding that character in you to resist, to lack, then at the end of that trial, he will come as your shepherd and provide everything to for you. Amen. But you need to be very careful and understand that some of these things, the devil will use them just as, you know, means to put pressure on you. And when that pressure builds up, you lose confidence in your Amen. Lord. Amen. So, how do they manage? How will the enemy try to destroy your morale? We need to know how he'll act. Amen. In normal battlefield, in normal warfare, what do they do? There's a famous writer of war tactics who wrote, according to Leo Murray, one key asset for winning the war for is leading to the weakened morale in the enemy in order to discourage him from commencing warfare. Amen. That's a tactic that always works. If you happen, you manage to break their morale. You manage to think them, believe, lose that confidence in themselves. You will win them. No matter what happened, they will lose the battle. It has been proved, a campaign after campaign, that if you break their morale, they're going to lose. No matter how well they are equipped. Amen. So what do they do? I know in the army, in campaigns, in the battlefield, they are what they call some very key principles when you are engaging the enemy. There are four targets. Because a section is the smallest combat unit on the battlefield. It's 10 to 15 people. Amen. So every section is composed of 15 people, as I said, but there's four key people. There's the commander, amen. There's the radio operator, amen. There's the machine gun operator, and there's the bazooka operator, amen. So these four people, the target of the enemy, if they want to destroy your morale, if they kill your commander, they know they have destabilized you. So when they go on to the battle, the first target is try to find the commander or the radio operator because they know if they kill him, you will lose your communications. You won't be able to receive any new instructions anymore and they cut you off from your back support. Amen. If you kill the machine gun operator, Because that's where the firepower comes from. All your power lays between him and the bazooka operator, the rocket launcher. Amen. So if they kill those people, one of them, they know they'll destabilize you. That's one of the tactics the devil uses as well to combat the church. He'll try to make you lose confidence in your leaders.
Amen.
Amen. If he targets them by something, I don't know, a fake news or something that they'll just an idea that will bring in your mind regarding one of your leaders, your pastor, I don't know, song leader, and you lose your confidence in him, your readiness to fight will just vanish.
Amen.
Amen. Because now instead of focusing on fighting the devil, when the pastor stands there, you are just seeing him as an hypocrite. Amen. Because of something that maybe it was just a fake news that the devil made up to kill you, to destroy your morale. Amen.
Amen.
It's a tactic that always works. If they happen, that's why you see on the battlefield, they don't work. You know, they are great. Everybody's the same. Because if you show up that you are a general, you are an easy target. And they know if they kill the general, the morale of the troops will be destroyed. That's why everybody is the same. Same cap, same. You don't know who is who, apart from the radio operator that you will see with his radio on the back and the machine gun. But the commander, you won't see him wearing any inside. Why? Because he becomes an easy target. And as believers, we need to protect our commanders. Amen. Our leaders, our pastor, our song leader, we need to protect them. We need to pray for them. We need, you know, it's easy for us just to believe anything that is being said about Brother Wilmore. You know, I saw Brother Wilmore somewhere, and he becomes with no influence on you. It's just one of the tactics that the devil will use to break your morale and defeat you. Amen. We are talking about that pressure. It's a pressure that the devil will put in you. Instead of focusing on him now, it builds something inside of yourself so that you are more focusing on fighting that thing rather than fighting the devil. Amen. One other tactic they use is showing you your weaknesses. The intelligence will do their best to know what you've got. They will gather information, come and tell you, we know that you have got 5 anti-missile aircrafts, you've got 20 tanks, you've got such weapons, you have got... They'll tell you everything about you, and they send it over to you. When you see, oh, actually, they are right. How did they happen to know this? Maybe we have a spy in our midst. They are breaking your morale. The devil will come and show you your weaknesses. He will show you that day, such a day, you did this, and you stole this, and you stole that. Put it under the blood. Amen?
Amen.
Don't let him break your confidence because he told you something that is true about you. Amen? You know it is true. I stole. Yes, I stole. And then what? Amen. Tell him that. You lasted after such man or such woman. Yes, I did. And then what? We'll see there's a solution to all that. The Lord is our shepherd. We have read is our stronghold, is our strong tower. All these things that the devil tries to put on you, you just run. Go over to him because he will take you. Amen. So the devil will try to show you your weaknesses. He will come and say, you have got such a gun. One of your tanks is not in good working order. I know it has been repaired such day and it's not still working. So out of 5, you have only 3 that work properly. The other, they don't know. So, but they will show you that, you know, we have 20 guns. We have 20 tanks. We have this and that. Your 5 won't do anything to us. They'll try to break your morale. If you are not careful to understand that, it's just propaganda. It's just something they are trying to build a pressure on you so that that pressure will break your willingness to fight. You'll fall under their traps. Amen. Another thing is what I spoke about here, the Germans speaking about the French, propagating fake news, false informations.
Amen.
They just want you to lose that willingness to fight. Let's say, oh, you know what? Your pastor, you have seen him, such and such. Yeah, you know what? They are selling the place you used to meet there. They are selling it, and there's no place you can go for meetings anymore. I say, okay, so you lose that confidence.
Amen.
Amen. Sometimes the devil will come with things that are really happening in your life, showing you that you can't pray because you have done this, and that. And most of these times we fall. We just give in to the devil's preaching. Most of this time we just back off. You know, we say, okay, that's right. The devil is right. I can't pray because I've sinned. I can't pray because I've done this and that. Or sometimes it'll bring a lot of things on you. Your bills, at work, your manager becomes just a hell for you. And this and that, your family, they are fighting you. All these things. And you just break down completely. You don't understand that it's just him trying to put pressure on you so that you can't fight him. Amen. But the sermon today is letting off the pressure. You have to find a way to let off that pressure.
Yes.
If you let the pressure building, you won't be able to fight the devil.
Amen.
That is tactics. Amen.
Yeah.
So, the prophet says, but there is a pressure on the people today. And that pressure has no limitation or any denominational lines. It has no age line. It has no respect of person. It's in the sermon, Letting of the Pressure, 1962. It's on young and old, good and bad. It's on everybody, pressure. All this together, this tension building up, then the result of it is doing something wrong and acting out of place. Amen? That's the aim of the devil. He puts that pressure on you so that you can do something wrong. And the more you do something wrong, the more he adds pressure on you because he has another reason for him to accuse you.
Amen.
To begin with, he put a pressure on you. You didn't have money to pay your bills. So you are so focused on doing that. And you go, because you are under pressure, you go and at work, you do something that is not right. You do something, you cheat someone just in order to solve that bill issue. And the devil has another issue now in his weaponry. He comes and says, you know what? You couldn't pay your bills, but what did you do to pay the bills? You cheated your boss at work. So he has another weapon launched against you.
Amen.
Amen. Just he puts that pressure to put you, to bring you to act in a certain way, out of place, so that he can have more weapons to fight you against. Amen.
Amen.
The prophet says, go to blow it out somewhere. If you don't, you will blow the boiler up. That pressure that building up in you, you need to go and let it off somewhere.
Amen.
We do things under pressure that we wouldn't do otherwise. I believe it's the enemy coming down and pressing. I believe it's the devil. And the Bible said in the last days that the devil would go about like a roaring lion. And if he could get you under pressure, hurrying, running over something, you'll make decisions that you wouldn't make if you'd sit down and think over it.
Amen.
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 It'll put you under pressure so that you'll make decisions that you wouldn't make if you were not under pressure.
Amen.
And when you make those bad decisions, which are sin, you'll have more weapons to fight you against again.
Amen.
And another pressure builds, and you go and do something. So the more the pressure builds up, and you'll be in a defeated position day after day.
Amen.
Amen. But there's a solution.
Amen.
There's a stronghold.
Amen.
There's a city of refuge.
Amen.
Amen. Whatever the devil do, whatever pressure he puts on you to discourage you from fighting the fight, there's a city of refuge.
Amen.
In Jesus Christ, you find your peace.
Amen.
So whatever you have done, You just go over to Jesus. I think once I gave an example here of that man who stole a chicken at work. You know, he was working in a restaurant, and someday, I don't know, he was under pressure, and he just said, let me steal a chicken and go and feed my family. He stole the chicken. At leaving time to go home, he had the chicken in his bag. Another colleague came and told him, man, I saw you stealing the chicken from there. You know that? He said, yeah. I said, okay, I'll accuse you to the boss. He said, no, please don't accuse me. He said, okay. So if you don't want me to accuse you, to report you, tomorrow, instead of me working up to 6 o'clock, I'll work up to 5. Sorry, up to 3. And then you will do the 3-hour extra for me. Okay? Okay. The man came the next day. The accuser, 3 o'clock, he left and went home. This man had to work 3 extra hours for that man. The next day, the man who had stolen wanted to leave. The other guy came, he said, man, you remember that chicken issue? If you don't want me to report you to the boss, 3 hours today again. I said, okay, no problem. He did again. It became now a rhythm. Every day before just he raised his hand to leave, he said, hey, you remember that chicken you stole? If you don't want me to report you, do this for me. It became a burden to that man. So the man became a kind of prisoner. He just said, no, it's too much. There was too much pressure on him. He said, I can't keep on living this life. I'm a slave to this man. I need to break the cycle of condemnation. What did he do? He said, today, whatever will happen to me, I'm ready to take it. I'm going to report myself to the boss. Amen? I'm going to report myself to the boss. He just took all his courage. He went, boss, I want to talk to you. Boss said, yes, what's the issue? He said, boss, you know, I'm a thief. He said, you are a thief, what have you done? You know, boss, 3 years ago, I stole a chicken from the restaurant. He said, you're a good man, how did you steal it? I know, yeah, he said, yeah, I had a problem, I stole a chicken and this and that, but I never report that to you, but I feel just guilt in me and I came to report myself. Amen. The boss said, okay, I didn't see you. Nobody reported you, but you came yourself to report yourself. I have more confidence in you now than I had before. Amen. Because I can see that you are a honest man, you are a sincere man. Amen. And the thing was solved. Amen. Now, the other guy, the accuser, was still in his position. He didn't know what happened. Amen. So that day, when it was time to go home, our man, the ex-thief, he came, he put on his tie and everything, ready to go home. The accuser came. He said, man, you want to go home? You have to work for 3 hours for me today. The man was bold enough now to stand before the devil. He said to him, man, I'm going home. He said, you want me to report you to the boss? He said, even now you can go and report me to the boss. Amen. Amen. Why? Because he admitted he managed to let off the pressure. Amen. Amen. The accusation couldn't do anything to him anymore. Amen. Why? Because he had run to the city of refuge. Amen. And he had let off all his pressure under the blood. Now the accuser could come with any kind of accusation. He was bold enough to tell him, I'm bold. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. If you want to go and accuse me, I know my judge is my advocate as well. He will judge me, but he will advocate for me as well. Amen. And when that man went to report him to the boss, he said, okay, if you think I'm going to tell the boss. He went and spoke to the boss. The boss said, I'm going to punish you rather because you saw something bad happening and you took advantage of something that was going to destroy my company. You didn't report it on time and actually you are the one who benefited from that situation. And they sacked him. Amen. So when you have anything that happened and the devil wants to use it against you, don't hide it. Go and talk to the boss. Tell the boss, I did this, and our boss is not a wicked boss. Our boss is very kind. He will understand. Even something you did willingly. Amen. Even something you did knowing that I'm doing this. Go and tell the boss. Confess your sin. Amen. There's a city of refuge. And if you go into that city, all your pressure, all your burdens, he will take them off you. Jesus made the provision. That's why he said, come unto me, you that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Amen. He says in Matthew 11:28, we know it. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Amen. Why did Jesus speak in these terms? Because he knew that all those heavy burdens that you are carrying on you, they create a pressure on you. Amen. Everything that you are bearing, you are carrying on you, it creates a pressure on you. And come and let off your pressure in me. Even mathematically, physically, what is pressure? Pressure is just the amount of force applied to the surface of an object per unit area. I don't know if you get it. A pressure is something that they apply on you. It's a force, and the force comes from a burden. Amen. A burden that applied on you. The more burden you have on you, the more pressure it creates on you. Amen. And we know we have not a big surface. So when a big load is applied on a small surface, it creates more pressure. That's why Jesus could say, come unto me, I'll give you rest. I will take all that burden off you. And if I take the burden off you, the burden is the source that was creating the pressure in you. And if I take the burden off you, then all the pressure will go. And you'll be free and you'll enjoy your liberty. Amen. So that's why we need really to understand the devil's tactics. We need to understand that all these things that is putting on you, the bills, housing, food, your citizenship, your residency, your marriage, your family back home, your disease, anything that is just things that the devil is putting on you, so that you will lose your focus on fighting him and you'll focus on the pressure. Amen. But I have a good news for you today. The Lord is willing to take that pressure off you. Amen. Amen. He doesn't want you to carry that burden. He wants you to take all those burdens to him and it will let that pressure. Because him is unlimited. He can take as much burden as it comes. Amen. Because he has been built to take as much pressure, and it just annihilated them, amen, and make them look as nothing. Why? Because he's the creator. But if you carry them on you, at one stage you will explode. At one stage you will break down, and your enemy will just take advantage of that. Come to the Lord. Bring your burdens to the Lord as we are going to pray now, as we call the musicians. We have a few burdens that create pressure on us. Let's just bring it upon the Lord. Brother Maxwell seeking prayer on the tussle between him and his car insurance company. The matter is going to the ombudsman now. Amen. We know the problem with Brother Maxwell's car. The insurance, they are just falsely accusing him of an accident that he was not at fault, but they are putting all the thing on him because the other part was not honest enough to admit what they have done. So our brother can't drive his car for a while now, and we are just going to commit this matter into God's hand because he's our judge. Amen. He's our judge and is the right judge. Amen. If man can't see where the reason lie, but God is always God and he'll fight for us. Amen. There's another burden that puts pressure on our sister Juliet. Can the saints please remember my brother's daughter in prayer? She wants to get married. Her mother passed away a few years ago. Her mother's sister, who is supposed to charge part of her bride price, okay, part of her bride price as a mother is asking for the impossible. Amen. An airplane, maybe. Amen. I believe the Lord will make her realize that marriage is not about getting rich in one day, but for the best for this couple. Amen. So this is a serious problem, and we just need to keep it in God's hand as we are standing. We call the musicians. Let's sing Rock of Age Cleft for Me. Amen. Amen. Because in that rock is our refuge. And if we go and stay in that rock, we'll let off our pressure. And all these things that seems like mountains, they'll appear as nothing. Amen. Amen. If there's any other request, you can just put them in writing and bring them. Let's sing Rock of Ages.
Rock of Ages, left for me, left behind myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy wounded side which flow be of saving. Love of you, save from wrath and make me pure. Through my tears forever flow.
Oh yes,
through
my zeal,
no longer I know. This for sin could not atone. Save and thou alone in my hand, no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. While I draw this fleeting breath, when my eyes shall close in death.
You just run and hide yourself under that rock. You have carried that burden for long, my brother, and there's no solution. It's just giving you more worries and less focus on fighting the good fight. Why don't you now bring them up unto the Lord? Because he said, bring them unto him and he'll give you rest. As a church, as a body now, we are going to bring this request into his hands. Pray for yourself. You know what's bothering you. Pray for your own life. Pray for your readiness to combat. Because most of the time we are not combat ready. Just thinking too much on these things of life. Just thinking too much on this marriage that doesn't come. Just thinking too much on that child that doesn't come. Just thinking too much on that job that doesn't come. That citizenship, that residency, that I don't know. You know what's bothering you. we focus too much on them rather than focusing on our enemy. Because everything we get is going to cease one day. We are going to leave it one day. But let's focus on what is eternal. Let's fight for the Holy Spirit. Let's fight for the adoption. Let's fight for our position in Christ. Amen. That's the most important thing for you. Know your position in Christ. Know and be sure of your salvation. Be sure, make sure of your redemption. The other things will be given you as a bonus. Let's now go before the Lord, bringing this request. Pray for our church. Pray for our future in our building project. We know our pastor will be traveling for holiday. Let's commit him into God's hands. Any issue, pray for a brother, pray for a sister that you know is in need now. Those who have traveled, those who are in need, any kind of need, pray, pray. Let's just take a time in prayer. Pray the Lord. People who have influence on the body, not only them, but maybe your brother, the devil will just try to destroy his influence on you. And you will see that he'll just start telling you if he can do this, if he has done this and that, what do you think you are? And just kill your confidence in the Lord. We are going to pray for each other. As a body, we are going to pray for each other because the devil will try to target us. He'll try to target our pastor. He'll try to target our deacons. He'll try to target our trustees, our song leaders, our Sunday school teachers, so that we can lose our confidence in them, to break our morale, to break our trust in each other. And if we are in that condition, we won't be able to fight him anymore. How many times you have failed to come to church just because of that issue that bothered you, because you didn't have a job, because you didn't have in a house, you were so discouraged that you couldn't come to church. You were so discouraged that you couldn't even kneel down and pray. Why? Because you didn't know where to let off the pressure. But today the Lord has spoken to us, showing us our city of refuge, where we can go and let off our pressure. Why don't you go there? That disease, that sickness that has bothered you for all these years, that condition that you know, your eyes, your ears, your head, your stomach, your womb, anything, that child that doesn't come, that husband that doesn't come, that wife that doesn't come, anything that bothered you. I've been through there myself. While I was preparing this sermon, a condition came that I felt just discouraged, that I couldn't even open my Bible to prepare this sermon. But I didn't give in. Amen. To the devil. Amen. Because if I gave in, he will just find another opportunity to defeat me. Amen. Just take your rightful position as a child of God. You have a father who has all the provisions for you. You have a father who have made a city of refuge for you. Amen. You just go there and let off the pressure. Especially think of our pastor. The devil will try to target him. Because if he strikes him, he knows he'll get many people. He'll just try to discourage them not to go to church anymore, not to believe the message anymore, to just drop everything. Because the Bible says, strike the head, strike the shepherd, and the lambs, the sheep will be scattered. Oh, as we are going to call our brother James to close for us, just think, remember all our brethren, the request that we have raised, just pray, keeping them and recommending them into God's hands.
Let us pray, saints. Our dear Heavenly Father, once again, Lord, we come before thy throne of grace, thanking you for such a precious time, Lord, that you've given us, Lord. A time that we can gather at your feet even at your throne of mercy, Lord, Father, to let off the pressure, dear Father.
Amen.
Lord, as you have invited, Lord, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, Lord. Father, we have come into this place, Lord, with all our labors and with all the loads that we carry, Lord. Father, and we thank you, Lord Jehovah, for your loving kindness. You have reminded us through your word. Father, we don't have to carry these loads, Lord. Father, we therefore, Lord, commit them unto thee. Father, asking you, dear Heavenly Father, to grant us your mercy. Lord Jehovah, to lift off all these burdens such as we have, Lord, before us, Lord. Father, we remember our brother Maxwell at this time with the request that he has got. Father, Lord, the issue of the insurance, dear Heavenly Father.
Amen.
He has brought it before thee, Lord, and surrendered it unto thee. Father, Lord, a confession that he cannot help himself.
Amen.
Father, we pray therefore and ask you to intervene in that case, Lord.
Amen.
So that, Lord Jehovah, he will come back into this place and will give glory, praise, and honor unto thee.
Amen.
Father, to know that, Lord Jehovah, you provide all our needs and you fight all our battles, Lord.
Amen.
Father, even as we praise your name, dear Heavenly Father, for granting him healing, Lord. Father, Lord, may he come back again with yet another testimony, Lord, when you have provided him, Lord Jehovah, fighting his case, Lord.
Amen.
Father, we pray at this time and remember the request that has been put forth by Sister Julie on behalf of her sister, Lord. Father, may you please intervene in that case, Lord.
Amen.
Father, that all shall be well. Father, we many times, Lord, come into this place and we've got such requests, even on behalf of our relatives and family, Lord. But we have seen you time and time again, Lord Jehovah, intervening in prayer, Lord.
Amen.
For the sake of our sister who believes in you, Lord. Father, and she's applying even the token on behalf of a relative at this time.
Amen.
Join together in faith with her, Lord, and asking Lord Jehovah to intervene in that case as well.
Amen.
Father, giving thanks unto thee even for the testimony, Lord, that even confirms this we heard from Brother Greg, Lord. A woman, Lord Jehovah, whose request was given, Lord, suffering from cancer. Lord, and the saints did gather and they prayed, Lord.
Amen.
Father, and she was cleared, Lord Jehovah, of
cancer.
Father, we know you are a God that hears our prayer.
Amen.
Lord, and your spirit inhabits our souls, Lord.
Amen.
Father, and therefore when we gather and pray, it is you, Lord Jesus Christ, making intercession for us, Lord, with groanings that cannot be uttered, Lord.
Amen.
Father, we do pray and we yield ourselves unto thee at this time, Lord.
Amen.
Father, praying, Lord, for the weekend services, Lord, on Sunday we shall be gathered once again in this place. May your spirit gather with us, Lord Jehovah, as you have been with us tonight.
Amen.
Father, to confirm and to fulfill your word as usual, Lord, and as always, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in their midst, Lord.
Amen.
We pray and we ask you, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, to meet with us on Sunday. Lord, help all the officers and the apostles, Judas, Lord, the Sunday school teachers, Lord, the musicians, even the trustees, Lord, Father, the deacons, Lord.
Amen.
Father, help the brother that will stand to minister your word in our midst, Lord.
Amen.
We seek your grace and your mercy upon them, Lord.
Amen.
Praying for each and every brother and sister that shall find their way to your house on Sunday. Father, help them and have mercy upon them.
Amen.
Father, may you deal with our souls to be even in expectation, even starting from now, Lord.
Amen.
Preparing for the service on Sunday, Lord.
Amen.
Father, even the message that has been preached unto us this evening, we thank you and we glorify your name, Lord.
Amen.
You have reminded us that we are in a warfare. We are, Lord, on the battlefield.
Amen.
May you therefore grant us grace to live with this in mind, Lord Jehovah, knowing that our adversary, the devil, Lord, he is always on the go, Lord.
Amen.
Father, but let us also remember that you, our Lord Jesus Christ, you neither sleep nor slumber. Let us always keep our eyes on thee, therefore, Lord. Father, to look unto thee for ways and means by which we can overcome the devil, Lord.
Amen.
Father, we seek your grace and we seek your mercy, asking you, dear Heavenly Father, to be with our pastor as he shall be away, Lord, with family, as he granted a request as well. Father, be with him, Lord, and watch over him, Lord Jehovah.
Amen.
Father, we seek your grace and mercy even as we part to go our separate ways. May your spirit lead and guide us and be with us, Lord, on the roads. Father, protect us, Lord Jehovah, from accidents, Lord, with other road users, Lord.
Amen.
Father, grant us your mercy and your grace, Lord, till we meet again in this place. In the name of our precious and mighty Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Amen.
As we are dismissing. Because it's a very good song, Justified.
We've been justified, so there's no case against us, as the brother was preached.
Amen.